In a world where fiat trembles and the mempool never sleeps, one signal cuts through the noise. Welcome to Pleb Chain Radio, Layer 2, your premium passage to the hidden rifts of Bitcoin culture. Buckle up and feel the voltage.
Welcome, gentle plebs, to Layer 2 Plebchain Radio. I'm your host, QW. In this episode, I sat down with Sam Meads. When I say sat, I literally sat across from him. We did this interview in person. You can tell we're friends. You can tell we got some jokes, but we had a lot of fun. And I want to take a moment to thank all the subscribers. Anyone listening right now, that's you. We do have something in return, a little value for value. There are 12 Plebchain Radio t-shirts left. We'd like you to reach out to either me or Sam, and we'd like to get you those. So first come, first serve. We appreciate you. We love you, and enjoy the show. All right. Welcome to Plebchain Radio premium content. This is our, you know, my guest
today. You pay well on this shit?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
We'll see how this goes. But, you know, depending upon how you perform, Sam, it might just be free.
Do you need a koozie?
Sure. Yeah.
I'm a koozie guy.
Anybody that doesn't know, this is my very first time doing a live podcast IRL. I happen to know this gentleman who lives locally. His name, and I think we can say his full name, right? Are you fully doxed?
Yeah. All right. I'm doxed.
Sam Meads.
Doxed to oblivion.
Sam Meads, who he runs a few failing companies, but that's the important part of
at
today.
At least one successful one and many failed companies.
So I guess my first question to you, Sam, is why eggs?
Why? Eggs are an excellent source of protein.
Mm-hmm.
They're delicious. They're, you know, I don't know. They're great.
Now, when you
they're
say that,
so universal. I like a burrito. I'm a burrito guy, so I like an egg and cheese burrito. I like a fried egg sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
I like just scrambled eggs with a little cheese.
So you're not prejudiced how the eggs are prepared.
I will take any egg. I'll poached, take egg anyway.
Soft.
I'll do it all. I'm not. I mean, I would say poached wouldn't be my first choice.
Mm-hmm.
But I would never, I have a rule that I don't ever deny an egg and I never leave an egg behind. So.
Yeah. I mean, basically, I would say I like a scramble, but start with butter, then stir it the whole time, scrambled and add cheese.
Yeah. So you don't pre-scramble, you scramble in the pot, in the
exactly.
pan.
Exactly.
That's what I do too. So that's the killer move.
And it creates a fluffy egg, call it.
Yeah.
And my son and I do it every Saturday morning. So it's an important regimen to have.
Do you ever go crazy and throw a little cottage cheese in there or something like that?
Dude, yeah, it gets weird.
Yeah.
It's not really weird, but it makes a lot of sense.
It's weird to some people. A lot of people are not cool with cottage cheese.
Yeah. Well, cottage cheese is another thing.
I'm glad this premium content's off to such a great start.
Well, that's the important part.
We're really talking about the good shit here.
Yeah, I mean,
the kind of stuff people are going to pay $5 for.
Olives in cottage cheese. You can put fruit in cottage cheese. You can put meat.
You know, I've never done olives in my eggs. That would, that's interesting. Black olives?
Yeah, I'm more of a Spanish olive guy.
Okay.
Even in the Mediterranean or Greek olives.
I don't like the Greek olives, but I might try black olives.
But if you do feta with it, then all of a sudden it makes sense.
Okay.
So, you know, olive has a complement. You have to have kind of balance that.
Feta. How does feta melt in a scrambled egg? Does
you
melt
add
well?
Add it at the very end.
Okay, so it's more of a garnish.
Yeah, but you roll it over. So, you know, it's kind of like it would just be more like a sandwich.
You checking the Bitcoin price on that phone?
No, I get phone calls. The fiat mines are crying. But so that's kind of what I wanted to, that's the end of our show today.
Thank you very much.
It's all about eggs.
But the second, maybe more important thing is, Sam, why music?
Why music?
Why music?
I mean, why not? Doesn't everybody loves music? Have you ever met someone who doesn't love music?
There's people that like music, and then there's people that that's their identity.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I think
it ebbs and flows as people grow up, and especially in our youth, it's something that a lot of people hold dear, a lot of memories. But as you grow up, as you become a responsible air conditioner adult.
Turning on right here.
It's all right. There's going to be some trains going by.
There's
going to
be trains. We could turn off the air conditioner, but it's like 150 degrees outside. I would not suggest it. So you're just going to have to deal with that premium noise.
So going back to that. So obviously growing up, you know, I remember my first tape, Beach Boys.
Okay. You know, all right. Very topical right now.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Brian. Right, yeah. Brian.
That was one of them. Then
do you remember which
CDs.
One it was?
It was the no.
Like a greatest hits thing or something.
I get around, round, yeah. Round, round. I get around.
The classics.
Okay. So, but then I remember my first CDs. I remember my first concerts. I remember
Celine Dion. That was your first
smoking a joint and driving around before and after school. Right. I remember how music touched me so much. But as I become a responsible adult, as I kind of get drowned out
you'll
with
get
the fiat
someday.
Minds. But this is very common. There are, however, other people who music just is always absorbed in their life. And I think you're one of those. And I'm curious how, maybe because you have a very, your business is kind of surrounded by music.
Yeah.
But you, I mean, this whole room is...
Well, we are in a music studio at the moment.
We are literally... I went to go grab a drink, and there's instruments from 1970, 80, 90. I don't even know. Yeah. What's that orange keyboard over there?
That is a Wurlitzer 200A, and that's my guy right there.
Okay.
It's an electric piano.
So why music, I suppose? How did it stick? Short of, obviously, you were in a band.
Well, I mean, it started when I was like 10, similar thing, you know, tapes, Beatles. I had some Beach Boys tapes too, but like road trips with my dad, getting some Beatles tapes, just listening to them a lot. And then, looking over in the corner and seeing a guitar there and just going like, how does that work? And then, you know, asking my dad, is there like a book that will teach you how to play these Beatles songs? And then he's like, yeah, let's go to the mall. We went to the mall and we got a book that used to be over there. I just brought it home for my daughter to try to learn bass with it, but I still have it from when I was like 10.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's easy. It's like, it's an easy way into create. Like most people love music, even if they just like music, they still right. like, I mean, it's an easy,
I think
gateway
some people
into creativity.
Forget they like music.
It's just so accessible. It's accessible to listen to and enjoy. It emotes, you know, it like brings out feelings in people.
Mm-hmm.
It's an easy thing to learn how to do when you're young, if you're interested in it. I mean, most people, you know, usually have like piano is typically the one, like your parents force you to play piano if you're like 6 or 7 or something. Cause it's good for your brain. It's good for learning. It's good for multitasking. It's good for being able to do, you know, I don't know. It's just, I learned how to play guitar when I was 10. So, and I just taught myself how to play and then I started, realizing I could take these chords and move them around and write my own songs and stuff. And it just was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I just started doing that. And then, I think I had like a fake Beatles cover band with my next door neighbor by the time I was like 12. And then once I got into junior high and high school and stuff, then it was just like real bands. Let's start real bands.
Once the chicks start digging it, you know.
Once I got my other friends to get instruments, like, you know, figuring out who's going to play drums, who's going to play bass. Once you find a couple other people willing to mess around and do that kind of stuff, then I don't know, it just goes from there. And then, you know, I don't know. I've always been the responsible one in the bands, and there's things that come with that, like merch and booking shows and doing all those sorts of things. And so
yeah,
I was that guy for years, and that just turned into starting businesses to support music and just all goes hand in hand to me.
Do you, you find a lot of bands that are successful, they have one madman that...
Yeah, there's almost always there is a person in the band that's like the me of the band that is, you know, dealing with the day-to-day stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or is designing the merch and the posters and all that kinds of, you know, kind of thing. So I did a lot of that stuff, and I did a lot of the managerial type duties.
Yeah.
And those sorts of things. So,
moving along in your life, beyond the bands, what radicalized you?
What radicalized me?
Which
thing are you talking about exactly?
Why Bitcoin? Why Lightning Store? Why Wavelake? What kind of was your trigger, I suppose? And you know what? Maybe it's just, why did it relate so much with you? You know, I think a lot of people either get it from a technical aspect, or they get it from an emotional, or just something happened where they're like, screw it. But like for me, I've been a libertarian a long time.
Yeah.
I've never trusted the system. I've kind of always wanted to, I saw that sly roundabout way, and I kind of grasped onto that. I was kind of built to appreciate, I was a Bitcoiner before I owned Bitcoin, I would say. But what was there anything that made you say, I want to start building things that are different?
Yeah. Also a little backstory, I guess, cause it's important to how I got here is I had access to the internet pretty early. And so I started similarly to realizing that you can just grab a guitar and play music. I also realized that you could look at the code on websites and, take blocks of it and make your own thing. So I started figuring out how to make websites, early days, HTML websites. And I started making websites for, bands, like music sites. And so that was probably like the earliest entry point into that part of it. And then I would always make the websites for my bands as well and all that stuff.
So you were doing it for other bands?
I was doing it for other bands. The first
notable really
band
I
ever did it for was Weezer.
Wow.
It was for Weezer's fan club, to be very specific. I made a website for their official fan club because they didn't have one. And they had these two girls, Michael and Carly, that were running it. And I just kind of communicated with them. They would give me content for it, and I would upload it. And yeah, it was really cool.
So you learned to cater to bands.
Learned that
just
aspect
from
of it,
actually
like how
being in a band. But building websites.
Yeah, I mean that was
copying
like
code or
very rudimentary, you know, version of being a coder. When you're like, I guess at that point I was probably 15. But you know, I continued sort of having to do that sort of thing. And then, fast forward, you know, maybe like, I don't know, however many more years later, I made, I guess 13 years later to be exact, I made I started this business, Hello Merch, that's where you are right now. And that was an e-commerce site that sold, it's kind of like a mall for bands. So you could buy merchandise from a number of bands on this from the single source. And I built that out. And about 6 years into that, I had a friend who had been talking to me about, here comes the train. I had a friend who had been talking to me about Bitcoin, and this guy, Mike Jarmas, a lot of people know him. He does a thing called Lightning Ventures, and he just started a project called Thunder Funder. He's in the like investment world of Bitcoin, but we've been friends since middle school. And he had been telling me about Bitcoin, and I've been hearing about Bitcoin through Max Keiser, who I had been listening to because of like post 2008 gold stuff, you know, like started realizing that money was weird and looking into how money worked, getting mm-hmm. kind of weirded out by it and seeing how it could be manipulated. So I started looking at gold and listening to these sort of like weirdo, you know, podcasts and I guess YouTube shows and stuff, whatever they were at the time. I don't even remember. You know, at that point, Bitcoin was probably like a dollar when I first heard about it. But, you know, skip ahead a few years, I was running this e-commerce site, and BitPay came along as the first plugin that would work with the e-commerce platform I was using. So I just turned it on, and that was just sort of this thing. Like, I don't know what this is. I've had some opportunities to try to buy it, and it seemed sketchy. It just seemed really sketchy. This was like 2014, so it just seemed really weird still. But yeah.
I'd be weird if you bought it and held, you know. It'd just be weird.
I mean, even just to buy $10 worth, it seemed sketchy to put your credit card into this like weird website, you know, and like it just didn't seem, didn't make a lot of sense. I didn't have a lot of context around it at that time, but I figured if somebody wanted to just give it to me, you know, in exchange for a shirt or something, then I would be okay with that.
In 2012, I almost worked for a gold company.
Really?
Yeah. I moved to Florida. The economy hit, and I was like, you know, fuck it, let's go, babe. If we can't afford a vacation, let's go live one. So we moved to South Florida, and we sold everything. I had a 61-inch TV, DLP, in my back seat. I had my dog in the middle of us, and I was towing my wife's car. And I had a mattress that ended up getting completely moldy driving through Louisiana.
Nice.
So when we showed up, it looked like I was a hardcore hodler.
Yeah.
I had two folding chairs, a 61-inch DLP, and an empty apartment. We ended up getting a blow-up mattress. And we said, all right. So I started looking at different companies to work for. And I went to this one. It was a gold sales. It was like a cold call for gold. And they're like, read this book. I read it in a day. I resonated with gold, like you were saying, but it just, I looked around. I'm like, no, this isn't the culture I'm looking
for. No, the gold culture is totally weird. I mean, and when people would find out that I hadn't learned about Bitcoin really. So if I was talking about money, I was usually talking about how it's such a bad store of value, and
right, I mean, you love gold because gold
kind of makes sense because at least it's been around for, you know, forever.
Yeah.
And it's this thing that I don't know, it seems like it's, I don't know if this is the thing, but it seems better than whatever is going on right now,
right,
you
know?
And I've since gotten completely uninterested in gold, obviously, but it was a good entry point, you know, to like thinking outside the box in a very extreme way when people are calling you a pirate for, like, you know, buying gold and silver. And I, sure, whatever. Like, it's dorky. It's super dorky, you know. But I don't know. It was like, I think of it as a good transition from what was going on. I mean, that was like, it took me a minute, but, you know, from like 2008 to 2014 to really start thinking about how, you know, messed up. Can you cuss on your premium content?
Just fuck yeah.
thinking about how fucked up money was. And, you know, like, I had a house that I bought a house when I got signed. It's like the only thing I knew. I got signed to a major label and I got some money. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. I'll just buy a house, I guess. And then I like lost it, you know, like, of course, because it was a 2008 house, like, where...
Yeah.
I just like walked in and like someone just gave me a house for nothing. They're like, how much money do you make? I was like, nothing. They're like, cool, here's a house.
I was fresh out of college, bought a house.
Yeah. They're just giving loans to everyone. Like, I literally called my friends and I was like, I'm not joking. This place just gave me a house. Like, everybody needs to come into this office right now and get a house. And all my friends did. And we all lived in the neighborhood.
It's the Oprah meme.
Yeah. Like, it was amazing.
Everybody gets a house.
But then when you realize, like, oh, wait, what just happened? Where'd my house go? You start looking at it, and then it's like, wait, how do all these promises that the bank was like, don't worry, you can refinance, and, you know, when the time comes, it'll be easy, you know?
Yeah.
And then, of course, you can't.
Mine actually told me I needed to be delinquent 3 months.
Oh, they told me that. I refused to do foreclosure.
I did that. I did delinquent 3 months so I can refinance.
Yeah.
And then they just said no.
Yeah, I kind of knew that wasn't going to happen. They told me that too. And then they said, you know, it's best just to foreclose. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to do that. So
yeah.
What's my best case scenario?
I rented it out to a buddy until they basically knocked on the door.
So. Yeah. I ended up doing a short sale, which was fine. And it was, you know, on the old credit report, which is worthless anyway, for a while. And that was a long time ago. So who cares? Yeah. But I learned a valuable lesson at that moment, you know.
Do you have your credit report with you?
Yeah, I can pull it up. Because I mean, I do look at it every night before I go to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah,
you got the credit karma. Sleep easy.
Yeah, check your app, subscribe.
Yeah,
full monitoring.
That's pretty cool.
You can monitor all your Afterpay purchases.
Yeah, I'm really heavily into debt. Actually, you're probably gonna have to leave pretty soon because usually at about 5 o'clock, the guys with baseball bats show up. I have to get out before then.
All right, that wraps up our Layer 2 preview. If you're interested in hearing more or the full episode, it's about 90 minutes long with Sam Means, please hit the subscribe. And we greatly appreciate any of the support that you give PlubChain Radio. Thank you.